Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
1 hour in the books. It is 7 a.m. in Nashville, Tennessee. Corey Curtis sitting in for Braden Call with Derek Mason, the Derek Mason, the Michigan State Spartan legend, the former Tennessee Titan great, and the former cup of coffee with the New York Jets.
And that's what it was.
I was a cup of coffee in Houston, Texas.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were in Houston.
I was in Houston. I wasn't there with you.
No, you were not, but before you came here.
Before I came to Nashville, yeah. I was in Houston for 8 months.
Wow.
I was at, they built a 24-hour news cable channel in Houston, and I went to go work there.
We kind of switched, you know that? Because you came here and we lost one of our,
Tony Wiley.
Yeah, Tony Wiley went to Houston. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Tony. And then after like 6 months in Houston, I got the opportunity to come here and got to see Derek Mason pull up in his Bentley, and my life was forever changed. Forever changed.
Those were
good times. But yes, absolutely. Hey, we got the Nashville Predators on the air tonight, 7 o'clock, right, Marquise? 7 o'clock, Vegas?
Yep, pregame beginning at 6.
And the Preds are going for 3 straight victories. After a couple of hard-fought, really good wins over the St. Louis Blues, ending a 6-game losing streak. We've got Dan Lambert on the line. He is an assistant coach with the Nashville Predators. He is the brain trust behind the power play. Coach, congratulations on 2 massive victories. What's been the difference with your hockey team?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, in some of those losses that we had prior, we felt we were playing well. It's just things weren't going our way. We couldn't buy a bounce, and certainly that changed a little bit with the St. Louis, and things started turning our way maybe a little bit. But the effort's been there regardless. But these last 2 games, I mean, they were, you know, we were a desperate hockey team, and you know, playing against the defending Stanley Cup champions, you always get certainly ramped up even more to try to prove that you're their equal or better.
Is that the key then again tonight with Vegas in town, is keeping that level of desperation on the ice?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's no doubt that, you know, and they're going through a little bit of a rough patch here, so you know they're going to be an angry team as well. So we've got to play a very competitive game, and we did a great job of that against St. Louis. We've got to keep that edge for sure.
Now, Coach, the last 2 meetings, the last 2 games versus the Blues, you guys did a really good job at playing tough, physical hockey on the defensive end. You guys had 6 opportunities on a power play. It didn't work out. But we don't look at it like we did last year. I think last year it was, oh, here we go again. But I think this year it's just, okay, yeah, they didn't score. We understand, but this is a much better team on the power play. When you have situations like that, when you have 6 opportunities and you don't capitalize on the 6 opportunities, what do you do as a coach? And I know you don't have much time because of games are so back-to-back, but what do you do as a coach? Because you were brought in to kind of fix this, and you've done a great job, but you see that, yeah, you missed 6 opportunities, but this is a different power play team than it was last year.
You know, it's amazing how, you know, first of all, it's a long season, as we all know. You know, there's a lot of hockey games and there's a lot of peaks and valleys and everything else. And power play kind of runs the same way. As a coach, I want to make sure that the guys are in a good place mentally, for sure. I want to make sure there's not frustration that's creeping in, and that can easily happen. But, you know, when we review the power play and I go around and I talk to the players, we had a lot of opportunities. And, you know, sometimes that guy at the other end, the guy that's wearing the mask, wants to not allow that puck in. And we felt there was a lot of really good saves made, by the opposition rather than not us executing. So, as long as we're getting opportunities, we're giving our team momentum. That's a big part of our job. It's just not to lose momentum, and we want to make sure that that's our focus. And eventually when you do that, you know, good things will happen.
And Coach, one of the things I love to say in any sport is great players make great coaches. They make it a lot easier. I know that. You don't have Victor Arvidsson for a while, and that's a guy who is very good at putting the puck in the back of the net. How do you overcome playing without his finishing ability?
Well, you know, we are blessed here in Nashville. We do have a lot of guys that have the ability to play on the power play. Obviously, you try to, you know, put the guys that you think will do the job for that night, and we have other pieces in place and guys that have the ability to do it. So, you know, I think you don't necessarily replace a guy like Arvidsson, but you certainly can just, you know, put people there that have the ability to, you know, to do a similar job. And obviously sometimes both units get mixed up because you take a guy from the other unit, you plug him in there. So, and I think there was a little bit of that going on the last couple of games, but in saying that, you know, that's all part of the game. Injuries happen and you've got to move forward. And we do have players that have played and can play on the power play. We're fine there.
Now, Coach, you guys have brought several players up, and they've done a fairly good job for you guys. Carr ended up scoring the winning goal last game for you guys in a shootout. Because I'm coming from a different world as far as sports, where we have a week to sort of prepare and lineups change, and we have a week to kind of work everybody into what the changes are going to be, especially if a key guy goes down, a guy that we considered our Arvidsson. He goes down, but we have a week to kind of get this thing prepared and going. You guys only have basically a day or two. Is this a situation where you are discussing this the minute you get off the ice? Well, okay, this is what we need to do moving forward as far as replacing a guy like Arvidsson.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, for example, I mean, you know, Daniel Carr did go on the power play and you know, he hadn't been here. So, you know, right away you grab him, you kind of give him an idea of what we're looking for and what his job is in certain situations. And you know, in this particular situation, I thought Daniel did a great job, not only on the power play, but throughout the game. But that's all part of the game. You know, as far as, you know, when you get injuries, you've got to ad lib, and you've got to, the guys that come in, got to get a quick lesson on what you're looking for, and then they've got to play on their instincts.
Who do you expect to see between the pipes for Vegas tonight, and how do you attack him?
Well, it sounds like Marc-Andre Fleury left the team for personal reasons or something. So, it, you know, it's probably going to be Subban. You know, because we thought it was going to be Marc-Andre Fleury, probably changes things. Our goalie coach is looking into how to beat Subban as we speak, I'm sure. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to make sure we get a lot of pucks towards the goalie and get traffic and make it a hard job for him.
All right, well, Dan Lambert, thank you so much for joining us. Exciting to watch your hockey team get its skates back underneath it and get a couple of big wins. And we just know this. Every night in Smashville is a really big night. Have a great time out there tonight.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's Dan Lambert, assistant coach with the Nashville Predators. They've got a big one tonight with the Vegas Golden Knights, a chance to get three in a row. I know a lot of Preds fans like to pound their chest and think everything is fixed after two games, and as he said, it wasn't all necessarily broken, but it takes more than two games to show that consistency, you know, because I am very interested to see, you know, it's easy to get the desperation level up with the Stanley Cup champs in town. Mm-hmm. Can they continue to play at that level against everyone?
Yeah, that's the question now. Oh my goodness, phones are ringing.
That's your phone ringing,
yeah,
not
mine.
That's
my phone ringing, not his. Yeah, there are, you know, it's easy to get up against the better teams. But when you have to play a team that you are better than, that is struggling, how then do you get up for that team? Can you have the same attitude and approach to that team that you had versus the St. Louis Blues? Because you knew if you didn't go out versus St. Louis Blues, you would get embarrassed.
They're the Cup champs.
Exactly.
They're a rival. There's a lot of reasons to be up for that hockey game. That game again tonight at 7 o'clock right here with Pete Weber on ESPN's 102.5 The Game. The Preds, you know, they've got some questions. We're going to address one of those, and it rhymes with Miles Burris. That's when we return on The Morning Drive. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Corey Curtis sitting in for Braden Gall. Derek Mason here, as always, because he's got no life. I'm just going to pick on you as we intro every time. How's that sound?
This sounds great.
Nah.
No, I don't mind. I got thick skin.
You got thick. You know, as a football player, which I said already uh-huh. that I see you as, you uh-huh. have to. Yeah, if you yeah. don't,
well, some
you
guys
will not
don't.
Make it.
Some guys don't. Big Raj, as we know.
Oh, my gosh.
He doesn't.
You know what the crazy thing with Big Raj is? I sat down with him uh-huh. before the preseason and had a sit-down interview with him because I do the sideline for the preseason uh-huh. games and I do these halftime features, and he was one of them. And one of the questions I had is, you know, Titans want to go good to great. Mm-hmm. The Rams went from bad to great, like, instantly. Mm-hmm. I said, how did you do it? And he said, accountability. He said, culture and accountability. Those
Big
are two
skin.
Things. And he said, the moment people were accountable and could be accountable for their actions, it changed everything. And I'm like, this guy's the least accountable guy on the team.
He doesn't want anyone to say anything
bad
about
him. Roger's been very nice to me. He's a very nice guy. I mm-hmm. like him. But that answer, I mean, yeah. right now with some of the things he's had to say, kind of rings hollow a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it does.
So, all right. So we got the Nashville Predators skin. Tonight at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pete Weber, Hal Gill.
Yes.
Hal Gill, who's big enough to play any sport, on the call. Pre-game starts right here on The Game at 6 o'clock. Probably going to be D-Mac in some
Somebody.
Scenario. Your guy, yeah. D-Mac, talking Preds hockey, getting you ready for puck drop against the Vegas Golden Knights. And it looks like Subban between the nets.
Yeah.
Dan Lambert said that's who they're expecting to see.
Not PK, but his
Not
brother.
Not PK, his brother, who has won his fair share of hockey games mm-hmm. as an NHL goaltender. That is certainly not a gimme. And I guess, you know, we talked to Dan Lambert a little bit about it. My number one question for this team as I go into tonight is do mm-hmm. they play with the same desperation? You talked about the grit and the mm-hmm. toughness on the defensive end. We had not seen a lot of that. Do we see that same determination, toughness, grit on the defensive end of the ice with Vegas in town instead of the Stanley Cup champions?
Well, you need to see it. If this team wants to continue to build on what they have done the past two games, then they're going to have to play with that same intensity that they played against the St. Louis Blues. It shouldn't be who we play.
You're right.
It should be our standard of play.
But that's just generally not the reality with most
yeah.
teams.
Yeah, you're right.
But it's what separates the elite.
Mm-hmm.
From everybody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's my way of agreeing with you.
Yeah. So you got to have and I've said this about the Tennessee Titans. There's a standard of play you have regardless of who you play. Where you play. That's why you always see Nick Saban and Bill Belichick seem like they're upset. They're upset because, yeah, they won, but they didn't play at the standard mm-hmm. that they wanted to play, even in a win. And that's what keeps those teams that are really good at the top is they have a standard, and if they fall a little bit, they don't stay down there long. They have a standard of play, and they want to get back to that standard very quickly.
So once again, that game's at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, with pregame starting at 6 o'clock, so plenty of Preds coverage coming your way. You brought up the Tennessee Titans, and I want to touch on Derrick Henry. He has emerged as this team's best offensive player. Mm-hmm. He has emerged as this team's cornerstone of the offense. The whole thing runs through 22 mm-hmm. Right now. And it led me to an interesting question yesterday on my Twitter page, because fans have always loved Derrick Henry. And for 2.5 years, I like to say that I was harder on him than absolutely anybody, except for maybe himself, because he called mm-hmm. himself trash.
Yeah.
But people wouldn't listen to him or to me. And I think there's always been a different perception than to reality with Derrick Henry. Now, the reality now is that he has been fantastic, mm-hmm. and there's no one who can deny that. This year, he is a Pro Bowl player. I don't know that he'll get to All-Pro player because of Christian McCaffrey and some of the other mm-hmm. two-way players at running back that are going to be there. But so there's this perception that Derrick Henry has dominated from the moment he set foot on the football field in the National Football League, and that he just has strung together 100-yard games, you know, every time he's been given the ball more than 15 times. And that's not reality.
No.
And so I asked everyone on Twitter, I said, without looking it up, how many games of 100 yards or more has Derrick Henry had as a Tennessee Titan? 4-6, 7-9, 10-12, or more than 12. And I expected a great number to think he had double digit and more.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. I haven't checked it today, but the last I checked, over 40% thought he had at least 10 games.
Oh, wow.
Of over 100 yards, and I think 20%, so 1 in 5 fans, thought he had over 12 100-yard games. I think that they don't understand he's only had 3 100-yard games this year, and one of those was 100 on the button against the Falcons. He only had that one until the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is not disparaging Derrick Henry. He has been fantastic the whole year. The rest of the team has not played as well as he has. They have just started to catch up to him.
Yeah.
and that is the reason the numbers are as big as they were. Last year, he was so bad to start the year that he was losing carries to Deion Lewis and was about to lose carries to David Flewellen until Flewellen got hurt. And then he finished strong. And people like to think that he finished the year with four straight 100-yard games.
No, he had a 200-yard game in there.
And then he had 100 yards against the Giants, and then he had a couple of, like, 80s.
Yeah.
And so he has not had nearly as many as many fans think.
No, he hasn't. But what he has done is he's run physical.
This year he has. Yeah. And the end of last year, he has been fantastic.
He's run behind his pads.
He's fun to watch.
Punished would-be tacklers, either with a stiff arm or just blatantly running them over. He's a tough out. Derrick Henry is a guy that, and I know it's easy to say, and you look at him and you say, well, yeah, that should be the case, but the Titans were not doing it. Is the more he gets the football, the better he becomes. And sometimes you're going to take 3-yard losses, a yard loss here and there. But for the most part, he's come the third and fourth quarter. That's when those defensive backs and those smaller linebackers are making business decisions. They are going for the ball rather than going for the man. And you see Derrick Henry breaking a lot of tackles. He has the most yardage after contact in the National Football League.
See, I don't agree with the notion that he gets better with carries.
But he's been proved. I'm saying as the game goes on.
Well, but see, I think when he's good, he's good.
Because
I think I looked at the numbers. I broke him down carry by carry. And he's just as good in the first half as he is in the second half when he comes out to play. And this year, that's been every game.
He has come out and played every game.
It's been every game. And even last year, in those last four games, he was good from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. You're absolutely right, though, that by the time the fourth quarter rolls around, if he's still getting those carries, if you're out in front,
you don't want to tackle him.
No, you don't want to tackle him. I mean, you're going to pile on more yards, but the yards are there early in a lot of these games as well. Because when he's physical, he is unstoppable from the start of the football game. The numbers I've got right now. 28% said 10 to 12. 17% said 12 or more.
Oh, wow.
41% got it right and said 7 to 9. The number
but
is 7.
It's because of where he – what people don't understand is if you average 70, 80 yards in the NFL as a running back, you're going to be over 1,000-yard rusher.
I think it's about 64.
Yeah.
And he's only had one 1,000-yard season. Now he's only 9 yards away from a second
Exactly.
one. He didn't have a single 100-yard game as a rookie.
No.
But he was playing behind DeMarco Murray, who was playing at a Pro Bowl, All-Pro level.
And he still had,
season.
700 yards, 600 yards?
I think it was 400 or 500.
Oh, the second year is when he had more yardage.
Yeah, because DeMarco was hurt, and he started getting a little bit more.
Yeah, Derrick Henry is just... He's
but he did
guy.
Have a couple 100-yard games that year, and he had the one in the playoffs, which would be an eighth.
Yeah.
So he's had seven regular season.
If you're counting the playoffs, would be eight.
It would be eight.
He is a guy that and I would dare anyone to, we can go from back to back. He is not the best back in the National Football
League. But he's the best runner.
He is the best runner in the National Football League.
I think that is a
There's
popular
nobody
sentiment
that
right
runs
now.
The football better than him right now at this particular time.
What about Lamar Jackson?
Lamar,
he's averaged like 6.7 yards.
Okay, let's take Lamar and take him out. He's disqualified because he's a quarterback.
Yeah, he's a running back.
Let's just the running backs. There's not a running back in the National Football League that runs the football better than him.
And that's no disrespect to Zeke or Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara. They're all great players.
They are better players.
Better receivers, that's
better
for sure.
Better receivers, yeah. Better players at the running back position than Derrick Henry. But Derrick Henry is the best runner. You turn around, get him the ball, I will take him over anybody.
Now that he runs between the tackles, now that when there's a small hole there, he will hit that small hole take it for all it's worth. I agree with you 100%. He is a winning bet. And now when he loses yards, it is not his fault at all.
No.
It is not his fault at all.
That is remarkable, Corey, that they lead the league.
In negative plays. Yeah.
But for some reason they are still having these negative plays.
They had so many leaks in the line. Mm-hmm. I think I talked about this on Monday as well. They have finally realized that they are who they are, and they are built to be exotic smash mouth.
People didn't like that a couple years ago, Corey.
People listening right now may not like the sound of that, but they are built to run the football and go play action. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think so, just put in the tape of last week. Put in the tape of the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. They have scored 35 and 42 points, and they have thrown 18 and 19 passes.
That's exotic smash mouth.
It is 2019, people, and they haven't topped 20 passes in the last 2 weeks, and they're averaging almost 40 points a game.
Here's the crazy part about it. You see two teams that are totally doing it two different ways. One team has been doing it one way the whole season. I'm talking about the Baltimore Ravens. And the Tennessee Titans, the last two or three weeks, they've been doing it a different way. They've been doing it on the ground, but totally different. And they're winning ball games.
But it's based on the run.
Yeah. So you can't – it's a new NFL, but you can't get too far removed from the running game.
You eventually have to run the football. Look at the L.A. Rams. Mm-hmm. The Rams are struggling massively right now.
Because they can't run the ball.
Because Todd Gurley's not the same.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford to keep their offensive lineman, number one. Mm-hmm. Because they paid Gurley and they paid Goff. Mm-hmm. And number two, Gurley isn't the same Gurley. And it has completely changed their offense. Mm-hmm. The New England Patriots are not scoring points. Mm-hmm. You know why? They aren't running the football like they used to run the football. I know it's not sexy. Mm-hmm. I know it's not fun. But you know what is fun?
Winning.
Scoring points and winning games.
Yeah.
And right now the Titans and the Ravens are running the football. And they're scoring points and winning games. And their running game is creating big chunk plays in the passing game. Look, there's a reason A.J. Brown is 18 yards deep in the secondary running all by himself.
Nobody touches him.
I mean, I always tell people, why can't I ever watch the Titans and see receivers running free like I see other teams doing? Well, there you go. You run play action, you get all the linebackers sucked up, and you have a massive hole in the middle of the defense, and all of a sudden you've got this 6'1", 230-pound monster catching the football and no safety in the world wanting to tackle him.
There you go.
So it all starts running the football. The Titans have realized that, and Derrick Henry, he's the hammer. Everybody else just the nails.
Hey.
And right now he is doing some hammering.
He's a massive hammer.
The Vanderbilt Commodores have their hands full, but they are going for four in a row. Four over Tennessee. I am 48 years old. I never dreamed I would be saying this. The head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores is Derek Mason. Not this Derek Mason, but the other Derek Mason. And he will join us on the other side on the Morning Drive. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good morning, everybody. Corey Curtis with Derek Mason on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is the Morning Drive. I'm pinch hitting today for Braden Gall, who is still suffering after the Packers beatdown from the San Francisco 49ers. It's probably not true, but as a Bears fan, I like to point that out. We got a big one this weekend here in our state. Vanderbilt on the road going to Knoxville to take on Tennessee, a place they have gone to before. And a place they have won before behind their head coach, the other Derek Mason. We got two All-Star Masons in one show. Coach, great to have you. And I know things are what they are, but it's Tennessee and it's Vandy and it's go time.
Absolutely. First of all, you know, Corey, Derek, you know, happy Thanksgiving. The holiday season is here. I know tomorrow, man, you'll enjoy, man, a little bit of turkey and all the trimmings around that. But yeah, it's it's Tennessee week. It's rivalry week. It's time to go. And I mean, we're looking forward to this contest.
As you handle a football team, it's a family. Each season is its own evolving creature. You know, you've gone through whatever struggles you've gone through this year. As a coach, as you traverse this, what's the key to keeping everyone on that same path, everybody all still pulling at the same time, everybody all still pushing that car out of the ditch?
Well, you know, coming off a win, which you know, always provides confidence, I think, you know, I mean, this group's got one game left. I mean, these guys get a chance to play together one more time. And you have to take that for really what it is. I mean, it's a blessing. It's an opportunity. It's you know, this 2019 football team, you know, have been trying to finish this chapter the right way so they can start the next chapter the right way. And that's what we've talked about, man. I mean, this group is energized. They understand, you know, what this week is. I had to go back and talk about the history, you know, of this rivalry a little bit. You know, whether it's past history, current history, but just more or less, you know, I mean, how we're viewed even in this ball game in 2019. So, you know, I mean, for us, it's not about, you know, I mean, gaining some inspiration from, you know, like being a 3-touchdown underdog, man. It's about knowing and understanding that you got to play a 60-minute ball game. So the investment is about today's practice. It's about winning today. That's what we got to do, and that's what we look forward to.
You have beaten this team 3 years in a row. I know that has no impact whatsoever on this year, but it has to be a sense of pride in your program. It has to be a sense of pride with your players, and it has to be something that has to be exciting to try to build on.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, guys have, you know, been pride about, you know, I mean, where we've been, but, you know, we've got to, you know, I mean, take this opportunity, okay? This is the one, and that matters for this group. This group of seniors, you know, I mean, these young guys, these freshmen, I mean, who may have a chance to get on the field and play. I mean, these guys, man, for some of these guys, it's their first time for a redshirt freshman and or a freshman to head up to Knoxville. So, you know, they'll get a chance to experience this for the first time themselves, and they'll realize, you know, man, why it means what it means in this state. And there's a lot of pride on both sides. You know, there's a lot of divide in some of the households throughout the state. And so this is that game, man, that really stands up. It's talked about 364 days a year here. And again, it's what we look forward to. I mean, it's our last game in 2019. So let's ride. Let's get it.
We're talking with Derek Mason, head football coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores. They travel down to over to Knoxville, and play Tennessee Saturday at 3 p.m. Rivalry week, rivalry game. I love it because you can throw the records out of the window because you know you're going to get a hard-fought battle typically either way. In the last 3 years, it's gone your way, Coach Mason. But UT is playing well. They're on a four-game winning streak. They beat some tough opponents in that span. It's really two guys that have helped change this thing around. One is the quarterback, Garantano, and the other is Juwan Jennings. What have you seen from those two guys that keeps you sort of up at night, that keeps you, you know, as a defensive-minded coach, going back to the drawing board, watching film over and over again? Because these two guys have been – you know, they've been remarkable the last 4 weeks of college football.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, their chemistry. I mean, they've got, you know, anytime, man, you see quarterbacks and receivers with great chemistry, it doesn't matter a lot of times, you know, like how you scheme. They look to find, you know, like ways to connect those two. And Jim Chaney's done a really good job, you know, in there of settling, you know, Garantano down. You know, I mean, over the last 5 weeks, and just really, you know, like honing in on, you know, like his ability to spin the ball. I mean, he's whether it's spread sets, bunch sets, you know, like ways to move Jennings around to get him free. They've just done a masterful job of finding the matchups and letting those guys play ball. And that's exactly what they look like they're doing. I mean, they're playing ball. They're having fun. But it's not – I mean, Jennings is the guy. Jennings has the numbers. But when you start to look at, you know, man, Marquez Callaway and Josh Palmer, man, those dudes aren't just, you know, man, a slice cheese, man. These dudes can flat-out play. You know, Callaway's averaging 21.3 a catch. You know, when you look at Josh Palmer, he's a matchup problem. And then when you look at the tight end and the running backs, they're doing a really good job, man, of just utilizing all the tools in their offense.
Now, Now, this team has been on the defensive side of the ball the last four games. I think they've given up on average around 15, 16 points a game.
Right.
So they're playing really good defense the last 4 weeks. How do you attack a team that for some reason they've gotten it? They're buying into what Coach Jeremy Pruitt is preaching, and they're playing really good defense right now.
Yeah, you know, it's not one thing. I mean, you gotta be balanced on offense. To really attack Tennessee. I mean, that's just what I've seen on tape. I mean, they're good up front. Okay, man. So, you know, when you look at their front seven, whether it's the run game or the pass game, Batuli, that tandem of linebackers inside are playing as good right now as I've seen all year. And then, what they do up front, man, they've got guys that can stop the run and pass rushers. So, you know, what happens is, if they can get you behind the chains, well, then they tend to smother you, on third down with the pass rushing coverage. And that's something between the run and the pass, man. It can't be, one-sided. I mean, it's got to be, inside. It's got to be outside. It's got to be vertical. I mean, you got to be able to use the 53 and the third, okay, as well as that 100-yard field in terms of trying to stretch them vertically and horizontally to try to, create offense, create opportunities to sustain drives and score points.
Coach, last game you talked about for these seniors, and that includes Keyshawn Vaughn. This is a guy who I have watched play for a long time. It was very exciting for you to get him back home. Can you just talk about what he has meant to your program and the guy you're going to say goodbye to after this one?
Yeah, Keyshawn Vaughn was a young man that I wanted coming out of high school. He wound up going to Illinois and then found his way back home. But, since the time he stepped on this campus, he's made an impact. Both on and off the field. He's a warrior. I mean, he loves the game. He's an alpha male. He's a competitor. But, he's grown so much, during that time. And he's improved, his game every year. And in that process, he's also become a father. So I think, in terms of his mindset, in terms of his goals and his aspirations, he's always stayed right in the middle and really, giving this program everything he's got. There's been times he's had to carry this program on his back, and, he's going to have to do a little bit of that on Saturday. As he runs hard, guys around him are going to have to play.
Well, that's what the next question I was going to get at. Does he need to carry you through this? Does this need to be a Keyshawn Vaughn day where you control the ball, you control the clock, and kind of turn it into a rock fight with your running back leading the way?
You know what? It's got to be a Commodore day. I mean, Keyshawn Vaughn's got to do what he's always done. The guys around him, have to stand up. Everybody's got to play ball. We can't have just five guys playing ball, man. We got to have all 11. All 22, all 33. When you talk about offense, defense, and special teams, it's a team game. The best team will win, but individual battles will go on in this ball game, and we got to win ours.
Coach, enough with the football stuff, man. We've already said, happy Thanksgiving and everything. But what we have noticed, Coach, is, hey, man, you got another hairdo, man.
It's like three in a season.
It's like three in a season, man. You got it short and tight this time, man.
Man, short and tight for a little bit. I mean, that's one of those.
I can't tell the two of you apart now.
Hey, listen, man. D-Man, that's that all of a sudden, man, when you're trying to go real fast and you get the zit.
Oh. Sudden, so you're saying it was an accident?
Yeah, then all of a sudden you got to take that thing down. So you take it down, you start over, and that's exactly what it was. So don't think, man, I was going for a low pro right in the middle of winter.
Coach, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us. And by the way, I didn't mention this. Really excited to see Kari Blasingame join the Tennessee Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Got a chance to talk to him after the game, and he was on cloud 90. And I know you had to be excited to see him with the team.
Excited for him. I mean, I got a chance to see, two former Commodores. Willie Herndon was playing, for Jacksonville. But just to see, Kari, man, he's been over here since he's been back, quite a bit. Man, I'm so proud of him. And look, man, he's a good football player. But right now, man, he's having the time of his life, and it's good to see him back home.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. Good luck to you on Saturday. We're looking for a four-quarter battle.
Let's do it. Take care. Anchor down.
Yep.
All right. That's Derek Mason, head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores. Always passionate, always believing, and always on point.
You have to, man. If you're a coach at Vanderbilt, a football coach at Vanderbilt, sometimes that's all you have, man.
All right. Well, can Vanderbilt do it? We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we return on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is the Morning Drive. 7:48 on this Wednesday morning. Corey Curtis sitting in for Braden Gall with Derek Mason on the Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Just got talking with Derek Mason, who's looking forward to some turkey, and admitted his haircut was an accident.
It was a mistake. Yeah, it was a big mistake.
But he's on his third of the season, and I think that's courageous. I think anybody with the – now, Mace, I'm looking at your head.
I can't do it, man.
The only thing that you could do would be like a mullet.
Still won't work. You know what I have thought about, Corey?
Don't think about it too hard. I
thought about it, man. I said, you know what? Maybe I should – because everybody's – you know, you see everybody's doing it now. It's kind of like – you know, women do it, whether they get it, you know, the things in their hair, whatnot, eyelashes. I might go ahead and get the hair, man.
You're going to get hair?
No.
You're going to go Brian Urlacher?
Yeah, no. I might go Brian Urlacher.
Okay, but see, okay, you do what you need to do for you.
Yeah.
And so I will support that 100%.
But I don't know if I would look just
but
like.
Can I just tell you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have known you for 16 years,
no
and you
hair.
Have never had hair.
Absolutely. I know.
So even when you had hair, you didn't have hair.
You got a point there.
So what are you missing?
You're absolutely right. But it's like, I always say this about my son. He has a head full of beautiful just
for now,
hair.
For now.
No, but he has, he skipped the, because my brother, my oldest brother.
Yeah.
He has a head full of hair. Just
oh, okay.
And it's like everybody else don't.
Yeah.
But he's the one that was able to keep his hair. Him and my little brother.
Everybody hates him.
Yeah. My son, he's going to be that guy that keeps the hair, and he has a head full of hair, and it's just like, and I'm jealous.
Well, I mean,
I can say I'm jealous.
I mean, you
of
know,
my son.
You know who Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard is, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I mean, nobody pictures him with hair.
Yeah, you got a point, though.
I mean,
but
nobody pictures him with hair. Nobody pictures Michael Jordan with hair.
You got a point there.
It doesn't define you, Mace.
No, I know, but it would be nice to see what I would look like.
Well, look, we
at
can do 45 that.
45 with hair.
We can do that.
I mean walk they, around
there's,
with
there's
it.
There's CGI for that.
I know. I mean, but walk around with it.
Okay. And I don't mean to waste the listeners' time.
No, they love this. Our listeners love this.
So say you get the plugs or the magic formula or
the
whatever.
The magic formula, not the plugs.
Whatever it takes to get the carrots to grow up there again.
Uh-huh.
What style are you going for? Kid in play?
Oh, no. Yeah,
you would look
right.
terrible with that kid in play thing.
That wouldn't be a good look for me, Corey. I'm just saying.
Have you seen Robbie Anderson's headshot from the NFL? The Jets receiver.
It's high. It is high.
Well, it's like he's got spokes coming out of his head.
Oh, my goodness. But that's how the kids wear their hair nowadays. They don't comb it. They use this particular brush. I don't know.
I mean, do you just want moss on there, like a chia pet?
No. It would be sort of like it would be low and tight, but a little bit high at the top, but low on the sides. Just faded in on the sides
well, what
and
about
high
like,
at the
you know,
top.
Like
Coach Mason.
It could be inverted from where you are now,
uh-huh.
where you could grow, like Hammer and Wake.
Yeah.
You could grow it down the middle and then just shave the sides.
Yeah, the mohawk look, the faded mohawk.
Yeah, but it's like a thicker, bigger mohawk. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm going for the high at the top, just a little bit high at the top, faded on the sides. That's what I'm going for.
Okay.
I'm going to do it, Corey. I'm going to do it.
All right. Well,
when my son leaves for college, I'm doing it.
You could take.
I'm going to midlife crisis. I'm getting me a Corvette with no top, and I'm getting hair.
Corvette. You could take Jeremy Pruitt with you.
Exactly.
He's got the same hairdo as you do. And
absolutely.
You know what? I don't think anybody pictures Jeremy Pruitt with hair.
You got a point there. I've never seen Jeremy Pruitt with hair.
And I don't think anybody pictures Derek Mason. With hair. So I mean, the other Derek Mason maybe, but not this Mason, because you don't need it.
I don't, but it would be nice to wake up in the morning and just comb my hair. or brush my hair. I want to feel like what Munson feel like in the morning when he gets up and brushes hair.
I found a picture
of him. Oh, yeah, that, no, no. Definitely not, Corey. I'm not doing that. He looks like the guy on The Simpsons. What's his name?
Oh yeah, Sideshow Bob. Yes. He looks just like Sideshow Bob.
Yes.
We're talking about Robbie Anderson.
Absolutely. I don't want to look like Sideshow Bob.
Sideshow Bob.
No. I want to feel like Munson when he wakes up, man. Brush the hair.
Man, sometimes I don't even have to brush it. I just pat it down.
That's what I want to do, Corey.
He hasn't showered in weeks.
Man, I want to be like you when you wake up, man. You comb that thing.
Look, man,
I
shower, and then I brush my hair, put some grease on it, rub some grease in it, put a do-rag on so it flattened out a little bit.
I want that. I want that life, man. I want that life for a little while.
As long as you don't get the soul glow, we good.
Soul glow. Leon Durham was my favorite Cub for a long time. He had one of the great Jerry curls of all time. He had to have changed hats.
Do you ever think the Jerry curl is coming back?
Everything comes back.
But not. I don't know if the Jerry curl's ever coming back.
You don't
think
so? I think it will.
Like the mullet. I don't think the mullet's
ever
coming back.
It may not come back to the degree that it was. Mm-hmm. It may be like a lighter Jerry curl.
Well, there's people that
shorter
do the mullet.
Jerry curl.
You might be right.
Mike Gundy does the mullet still.
Well, that's Gundy. Yeah. I'm talking about for the younger generation. The Hall and Oates.
I never
the
thought,
Hall and Oates mullet.
I never.
Will that come back?
Sure. Everything. I never thought the bell bottoms would come back. They came back.
Yeah, you're right.
Everything comes back. People get bored. I mean, that's why we reboot Star Trek. That's why we reboot Spider-Man.
They rebooted another Star. They got another Star Wars
that's
coming
That's not
out.
A reboot, though.
I
that's
know,
a continuation of the series.
But how many times can you tell? Are you going to go through everybody and tell their story?
Yes.
No, Corey,
yeah,
stop.
I want an RTD2.
Well, they are
going
to stop. It's the last one.
Is it?
It's the last one in the series. It's a 9-part series. It's always been a 9-part series.
They're going to come up with another one.
Well, they might make a spinoff, but it's not going to be the series.
I'm tired of it, man.
Well, then don't go.
I'm not, but I got to see it at some point.
I love Star Wars, and I wish they would make a billion of them. An absolute billion of them. Marquise was telling us we were supposed to talk about Vanderbilt in Tennessee.
We'll get to that.
And we just talked to Derek Mason.
Yeah.
And it's hard not to root for the guy because he is likable. He does tell it like it is. And he knows. I mean, he knew the number. 3-touchdown underdog. Mm-hmm. They're a 22-point underdog. They're a 22-point underdog for a reason. It has been a long year. Mm-hmm. He has said it. They got to find better quarterbacks. And I said it earlier. I think, you know, quarterback play alone makes this a Tennessee victory.
Yeah, because that is the reason why the Commodores were able to win the last three meetings is because either Tennessee didn't have a quarterback or Vandy had the superior quarterback.
They had Shurmur.
And Shurmur.
Yeah.
And Shurmur, you know, now looking at it, he was a really good quarterback for that program.
Yes.
And now they don't have it. And Tennessee does have their quarterback. And like you said, that's what separates – a lot of college teams is some teams have a Heisman Trophy caliber quarterback and some teams don't.
If Vanderbilt is in the game, this is the one prediction I'll make. Mm-hmm. If Vanderbilt is in the game in the fourth quarter, Keyshawn Vaughn will have over 25 carries.
Yeah.
Because
if they are winning or the game's close.
Well, if they've been able to stay on the field, and he is going to keep getting the football and stay on the field, and that's going to be the big key for their offense. Can they stay on the field? Mm-hmm. Can they get enough on the ground game to put themselves in manageable situations to move the chains? And he's going to have to be the catalyst. He's going to have to get more help up front than he's had all year long, and that won't be easy because To'o To'o and Baituli are both really good on that second level for Tennessee right now. But they're going to have to find a way, and he's going to have to find a way.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Vanderbilt's a 22-point underdog. Are you taking Vandy in the points, or are you taking Tennessee to cover?
I'm taking Vandy in the points. I think Tennessee wins, but I don't think they win by the 22 points.
It's a lot of points.
They're begging you to take Tennessee. They're begging you.
Are they?
Yeah, they're begging.
22 is a lot of points.
I know. Go ahead and take Tennessee in the points.
I don't know.
This is a rivalry game. Derek Mason's going to get his team up to play. I don't think they're going to win because I just think UT's better. But 22 points better, huh?
Does the three straight wins come into play at all?
Yes.
For either team?
I think for Vandy because they know they can beat them. They have beat them.
They have seniors who are trying to leave a perfect 4-0 against Tennessee. That's remarkable.
that's never happened.
No.
I mean, never happened.
No.
In this sort of, has it been a rivalry? Because a rivalry, truly, typically it's back and forth. This hasn't been back and forth.
All right. Well, we're talking about that betting line, 22 points. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports is going to join us next to talk about the betting lines for this weekend. We will talk about Tennessee and Vanderbilt. And this guy went 5-0 last week, which means one thing. You need to listen to him.
Absolutely.
He's next on The Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.